In studio right now, your friend and mine, John Molinaro of Sportsnet.ca. Hello, John.
Hey, Ben. How are you?
I'm great. So sometimes I do wish people heard what happens in the breaks here in the radio booth.
What did I say?
Well, you didn't say anything, but it really does give, if people knew, and I guess they could probably infer this as well, you're so soccer, 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 and I know you hate baseball, but you do you at least tell us that you enjoy other sports, and you're like, oh, yeah, basketball's okay, yeah. Is what you told me. But we're looking at highlights of the weekend on Sportsnet 36, and you're like, oh, yeah, yeah, what is that? Like Kobe Bryant? What was it? Was that a big deal for it? Yeah, he's retiring, John.
Yeah, I'm so not plugged in. So.
Yeah, you're soccer nonstop, I guess.
Pretty much.
It's like it's your job or something. So let's pay the bills then. And I teased it going into this segment. Leo Messi, by and large, unless you're trying to collect taxes off him and his dad, like a pretty squeaky, clean image, right? Like
sure.
He is... Not a lot of dissenters on Leo Messi. Not a lot of people saying, well, Leo Messi's bad for the sport. No, not necessarily.
No, I wouldn't think so.
But got in a little bit of trouble over the weekend. At least some people not pleased with his actions. They were Barcelona was leading Celta Vigo 3-1 late in the going, second half. And he had a penalty kick and decided to lay it off. And Luis Suarez deposited it home. Barcelona going on to win that game 6-1. People thought it was unsporting.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you make of it, John?
I don't have a problem with it in terms of it being disrespectful and sporting. I mean, the rule is there to exploit. If they were smart enough to do it, then fair enough. I don't have an issue with that. I just don't think it's incredibly unfair to the goalkeeper. Like, I don't think it should be allowed because it's extremely punitive. I mean, the goalkeeper is already at a disadvantage. You know, he's got to think about the rebound because a goal scorer can score on a rebound, which I think is absurd too.
Yeah.
Now you're talking about he's got to stop someone who wasn't originally identified as the penalty taker. Like you're throwing that at him too. It just seems a bit much.
It's ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah,
it should be like,
I don't like it.
Well, yeah, like I'd love to know what the number is as far as the percentage of penalty kicks worldwide converted. It's got to be
high.
Over 90% though,
sure,
right?
It's high.
Right. And then
you're throwing this at him too, where it's like he's got to worry about the penalty taker laying it off for like another guy. Like, it's
but at least
much.
It couldn't have been a nicer guy that scored it though, right? Luis Suarez.
Well, yeah, it's interesting too. And someone raised the point, like, what if this was Ronaldo doing this?
Right.
You know, like I'm sure everyone, I think because it's Messi. I mean, there has been some sort of outrage about this, although it's been fairly muted. I don't doubt for a second that if Ronaldo and Real Madrid did this, if Ronaldo was somehow involved in this chicanery,
right,
the outrage would be just through the roof.
Well, that's a perfect dichotomy to what I just said, the squeaky clean image of Leo Messi
right.
And the bombastic nature of, I guess, Cristiano Ronaldo. You don't see Messi without his shirt off. I assume
no.
He's ripped. I can't tell you how many times I've accidentally, I'm sure. Seen Cristiano Ronaldo without his shirt on.
Yeah, he's a pretty built guy.
Yeah, he is. And I imagine you don't run around for 90 minutes every other day and not be also sculpted. Mm-hmm. I'm sure Leo Messi is. But yeah, he's a different guy. That's why it is surprising to see him in, I don't want to call this like some big to-do or a big controversy, but it's like I can't think of another incident in his career where people have really criticized him all that much. Maybe like, there is the overall aspect of the international failures with Argentina.
Sure.
But there's no, there's nothing like this where, no. Like, you're right, Cristiano Ronaldo, it's a totally different discussion we're having.
Yeah, there's been no real sort of major singular criticism of Messi. I think there's been, you know, pointing out that he hasn't been necessarily successful for Argentina, which is fair enough. But
yeah,
you're quite right. I mean, Ronaldo is a lightning rod for stuff like this. So I really wonder.
Is that fair?
I don't think it's fair. I mean, like, whatever you may think about him personality-wise, and yeah, he can be a bit of a showboat and he goes down easily sometimes.
I'm taking my shirt off every other day if I look like that, too.
Well, you know what? He's still, at the end of the day, he's still a wonderfully gifted, like, footballer. And I thank God every day that, you know, I've been able to watch him. And the fact that he's been in his prime at the same time as Messi has just been, you know, unbelievable. This is a very special time in soccer, and I think we should all be thankful for it, that these two guys are, you know, at the height of their powers at the same time.
Right. And like, in 5 years, we probably won't be watching them unless they're both playing in Major League Soccer, right?
Could be, yeah, could be.
That's a logical destination for Ronaldo, yeah. Right? Is Messi, does that seem like a guy that would ever come across the pond?
Hey, you never know. I mean, yeah. I tend to think he's going to end his career either in Barcelona, or I could kind of see him going back to Argentina and end his career there. But, you know, you never know. China is like another big sort of thing because the Chinese Super League is throwing a lot of money around and they're luring a lot of players. So I wonder if Ronaldo or Messi would ever go there to end their career.
Before we get to the Premier League, we were also talking about this during the break, looking at All-Star Weekend in the NBA. Soccer doesn't really have anything like that. Like, there's no scenario in which you could see Ronaldo and Messi ever playing side by side. There would, I mean, should that be a thing? Like, should there be a European All-Star team or something?
Well, there's certainly testimonial games where they'll pay tribute to a guy, but they're not, like, when you're talking about in a competitive situation. I mean, Major League Soccer does an All-Star game, but I can't really see, you know, any of the big leagues ever doing it. I mean, it's funny, you know, you raise the point, because I remember when Sebastian Giovinco first came to Toronto FC and we kind of raised the idea about him going to the All-Star game. He gave us a real quizzed look. He's like, sorry, what is this?
Yeah.
This is like, you know, I have to do this, basically, was what he was saying.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't ever seeing it really sort of taking hold in European soccer. The concept is too foreign.
Yeah, it is. Same as, you know, like a playoff system or something in Europe. Yeah, it just wouldn't be something people would latch onto quite the same way that people here need playoffs. Like, there's no league that people would embrace, I imagine, where there's just one winner and there's no payoff of a playoff. Talking to John Molinaro of Sportsnet.ca. So let's get to the Premier League. And I posed this on Twitter when Leicester beat Manchester City, and it, you know, it finally, I don't know, to some, finally that was the moment where you looked at them as, yeah, they can legitimately win it in the Premier League. This is a team that was dead last at that time when they beat City. Last year, they were dead last in the Premier League. And the bottom three teams, if you're not sure exactly how the Premier League works, bottom three teams go down to a lower league the next year, and the top three teams are, I guess, top two, and then there's a playoff between three and four, come up to the Premier League. Relegation, it's called. So they could have easily been relegated. They were only promoted to the Premier League, I want to say, the year before last.
I think that's right, yeah.
And here they are, John. This doesn't happen. Like, is there a comparable in North American sports to what Leicester, little tiny Leicester, is doing in a sport where you're like, if you're a middle table team, like, you take pride in finishing 10th in the Premier League. Like, that's as high as you'll ever get, because there's just no way you can break into those top four teams of Manchester United, Manchester City, Arsenal to a lesser degree, Tottenham. Like, you don't see what Leicester has done this season. Like, is there a comparable to any other sport?
The only thing that I can really kind of think of, it would be like a team, you know, maybe like the Phoenix Coyotes or something like that. Just
but even that, like, that's they have the means. They have, you know, they have access to the same type of players as anybody else in the NHL.
Yeah, but they're not a traditional NHL power, right? There's no real sort of
but they're in the NHL. Yeah. And it's like 3 years ago, Leicester wasn't in the Premier League.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe it's like an AHL team.
Right.
Like the Rochester Americans.
That's what I mean. Like, say they got an 82-game run.
Right.
Like, and that's another thing. It's not just the one-off of a one game, because anybody can win. And we see that in cup tournaments all the time, FA Cup, you know, little small teams that, you know, guys aren't even professional soccer players, half of them. They're semi-pro, and they knock off some of the biggest clubs. But you're talking about a full 38-game season. Now, it's not over yet, but a good portion of the way through that they've faced all the big teams.
They have.
And they've fared pretty well. This was their first little hiccup, though, over the weekend, losing to Arsenal. Do you see it finally coming unglued for them?
I don't. I mean, I've been saying that it's funny, because everyone has kind of been pointing to, you know, last week's win over Manchester City, that, oh, this was the moment that we finally believe they're as title contenders. I've been saying it since January. I mean, and I don't mean that to make myself sound smarter.
Yeah, partly,
but
sort of.
I honestly believe they've been, for me, they've been the best team in England since pretty much this time last year. I mean,
who is Jamie Vardy? Like, come on, who is that guy?
He's been brilliant. Riyad Mahrez has been, I think, one of the best midfielders, if not the best midfielder in all of the Premier League. Casper Schmeichel has been unbelievably
I think you have to say that like this. Schmeichel!
He's been great. Kante, the African that they bought from Caen in France has been a revelation. This has been, you know, Robert Huth has been outstanding, and Fuchs, the Austrian fullback that they've signed. This has been, very careful with that name. This has been a team that's, I think, much more greater than the sum of its parts, and they're just, they've been brilliant. I mean, they've been full value since last year at roughly this time. They've been the best team in England.
Well, that all that being said, and it's all correct, there's still 12 games left, and they're only 2 points up on Spurs and Arsenal, who beat them over the weekend. Spurs look good, John. Come on. Give it up for Spurs.
Very good. I think they've been, you know, absolutely brilliant. Everyone was kind of wondering whether Harry Kane would be able to duplicate the season he showed last year. Some people thinking it was a fluke, but he's been sensational. Dele Alli has been, I think, one of the breakout stars of this campaign. He's a 19-year-old kid, but he plays with a great deal of maturity and poise. And I tip my hat off to Maurizio Pochettino. I think he's done a really good job of managing this team and pulling them all together and really getting the most out of them. I don't think there's any doubt that they've benefited, as Leicester has, from teams like Chelsea and Manchester United faltering a bit, but you know, Spurs have been absolutely brilliant, and I think they're full value for where they are, you know, tied for second place, and I think they're a legitimate title contender.
One more before we get to quickly your Champions League outlook here as it cranks up again this week. Another aspect of European soccer that people that follow North American sports would be scratching their head about. City's going to have a new manager at the end of the year,
right?
Pep Guardiola. So they're just kind of like sitting in stagnation here. And I don't know, has that affected this team? Like, they haven't played all that well recently.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, they were kind of faltering even before they made this announcement. They were very inconsistent. So I don't think it probably doesn't help them, knowing that, you know, Manuel Pellegrini is a bit of a lame duck manager, but I don't think it hurts them all that much. I think they've just been underachieving all season. They don't, they're not playing to their potential, and they're dropping points to direct, you know, title contenders. And, you know, we saw that on the weekend again.
All right. So Champions League cranking back up tomorrow with the ties, the first leg of the ties. I know you're looking at Juve, Bayern. Oh, that is
that's a good one.
That's a pretty dream tie. Yeah. Arsenal, Barcelona, too.
That's a good one, too.
They play on the same day. That's a week from tomorrow.
Yeah.
Who's the favorite going into this thing? Because it's hard for me, you know, like I can pay attention to the Premier League, but world football, there's just so many leagues to wrap your hands around. Who's the favorite going into this?
Into the round of 16?
Yeah.
Oh, I think Barcelona. I think they're just head and shoulders above everyone else. They're just on an unbelievable tear in La Liga. You know, it's funny that no team has repeated as Champions League winner since AC Milan in the late 80s, but I think Barcelona has all the capability of doing it. I mean, they're just unbelievable. I just don't see anyone stopping them. Bayern Munich, too, another team I think you have to look at. They're, you know, very solid.
So Juve has no shot?
No, I actually think Juventus has a shot at beating Bayern, and I think that's the tie of the round. And it's a shame that it's in this round because we're going to lose one of these great teams so early, but yeah, I think Juventus has a good chance, absolutely.
I can't wait to watch the live stream of your face during that tie.
My reaction?
Leg one. Yeah. Oh, you're going to lose your mind. It's going to be great.